Let us turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 17 to 22. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 17 to 22. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs shall lick up your blood, even yours.'" And Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you, and will utterly sweep you away, and will cut off from Ahab every male, both bond and free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger, and because you have made Israel sin." We see here a man who sought for the world in exchange for his soul. King Ahab is described as one of the most evil kings in Israel. He saw the vineyard of Naboth. He wanted it. Initially, he wanted to buy it. Naboth was not willing to sell. Ahab was despondent. He was sad. He was upset. His wife Jezebel asked him, "Why are you so sad?" He told her the reason. Jezebel was a scheming and evil woman, and she had great influence on Ahab. She said, "I will give you the vineyard of Naboth." Using his name, his authority, Jezebel arranged for worthless men to falsely accuse Naboth and to bring about his death. She then told her husband, "You can now take possession of Naboth's vineyard." Ahab was glad to do so. He took possession of Naboth's vineyard. And so God sent Elijah to him to say, "Have you murdered and also taken possession?" We may say it was Jezebel who brought about the murder. Why did God say that Ahab murdered? In many situations of life, we may say, "It's the evil one who instigated me to do many things." But in reality, why was the evil one successful? It is because we have longings and desires that he can work upon. King Ahab allowed Jezebel to use his name to bring about the murder of Naboth because he longed for the vineyard of Naboth. Although he was a king, he had so much possession, it was not enough. He wanted that particular vineyard next to his palace. He murdered, he had also taken possession. He wanted to have what was not proper for him to have. Do we also long to have what is not proper for us to have, if we do that, we are moving in the same direction. The degree of seriousness may not be the same, but the principle is the same. We need to beware. Elijah said, "You have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord." He sold himself. That tells us it was his choice. King Ahab was not born like that. He was not made like that by other people. He chose that path. He sold himself to do evil. It may not be that he began by wanting to do evil things. It probably began when he longed for the things of this world. He wanted position, power, money, fame, enjoyment. And in seeking for these things, he was then prepared to do things that were not right to get what he wanted. He wanted to have, and so he murdered, and he took possession. The evil one can tempt us, can suggest to us, can offer us many things, but he cannot make us do evil if we do not want to. We have the power to refuse him. We have the power to reject him. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The evil one cannot make you his slave unless you agree. If you want the things that he offers you, then he will have power over your life. But that is with your agreement. You sell yourself in the direction of evil. So we need to beware. What do we long for in this world? Do we want what the world can offer us? What the evil one can offer us? How should we respond? Well, let us look at a positive example. How we can lose everything and yet gain everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. What do I have? Do I have nothing, or do I have everything? We need to learn how to arrive at a stage where we have nothing, and yet we possess all things. We need to learn such that we are poor, yet we make many rich. The Apostle Paul testified that that was his life. When he chose to follow the Lord Jesus, he knew that it was not a path of ease and enjoyment in this world. He understood what it meant to deny himself, to take up his cross, to follow the Lord Jesus. He knew that it would be a path of suffering, of pain, and distress. He gladly chose this path. The Lord Jesus offered him poverty, suffering, and pain. The Apostle Paul gladly accepted that offer, and he found freedom, meaning, life. He said, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. As far as the things of this world were concerned, he seemed to be very deprived. He had hardly anything. He suffered. He went through much difficulty. It seemed that God had taken away everything. Yet, in the midst of that, we see the beauty that comes through in his life. He says, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. His life was a beautiful life, a life of moral and spiritual beauty and quality in his heart. He developed purity in his heart. He developed the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He loved the people around him. He gave his life to serve, to care, to give. He found his life, even as he lost his life. He found everything, even as he gave up everything. He said, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. There was spiritual life and power and meaning in him. God was with him. The Apostle Paul was close to God. He experienced God's presence, God's power, God's life in the way he lived each day. Christ was formed in him. And that is why he could meaningfully and effectively go through many different kinds of situations. He said, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known. He went through different situations. People could say all kinds of things about him, sometimes good things, sometimes bad things. Sometimes he was honored, sometimes he was dishonored. Sometimes there was a good report, sometimes an evil report. Some may regard him as a deceiver, and yet he was true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. Whatever he went through, his life continued, meaningful, rich, and in abundance. And it was a life where he ministered to others. He contributed to the well-being of others. He said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Yes, he was sorrowful as he saw many people living in bondage, going the wrong way. Yet he was always rejoicing as he knew that God was always good. He knew that life would always be meaningful if we follow God. He was poor as far as the world was concerned, but he was making many rich. He was bringing life and meaning to people, freedom and joy. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. He had given up all things, but he possessed all things. What do I have? If you ask the Apostle Paul, he will say, I have nothing. You ask him, please say that again. And he says, I have everything. Which one do you mean? You have nothing or you have everything? He says, both. I have nothing and I have everything. What do we want? Temporal riches or eternal riches? The Lord willing, we'll consider in the next message how we can arrive at such a stage in our lives, how we can attain such a state of having nothing, yet possessing all things. Let us come before the Lord to evaluate our lives and consider, what do I have? What stage of your life are you in now? What is it that you have? Are your riches the things in this world? Are you rich in the things of this world? Or are you rich towards God? Have you found true riches which bring true meaning and value and worth to your life, not just for now, but for all eternity? Let us ask him to search our hearts, to help us evaluate ourselves, that we may consider how we have been living our lives. What in reality do we have at this stage of our lives? What we have, is it truly something valuable? Is it of true worth? Will we be truly satisfied at the end of our lives to be like this, to have what we have today? Or do we long to have something very different from what we have? Or do we long to have something much more meaningful than what we have already tasted? Let us thank the Lord for all that he has done for us, what he has made available to us. And let us ask him to help us to seek for the right things, that we may have that which has true and ultimate value. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your great wisdom and love, you have made provision for us so that in the Lord Jesus Christ we can find true riches and true life. Help us that we may honestly, sincerely, humbly evaluate our lives, that we may understand how you look at us. Help us so that ultimately we will not be regarded as a fool by you, though we may be regarded as fools by the world. O Lord, we pray that you teach us to learn to deny ourselves to take up our cross, to follow the Lord Jesus. Help us to find true freedom and meaning as a result of giving up our own selfish ways in order to walk in your ways. We thank you for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We ask that you strengthen us, teach us your ways, empower us to do your will. Grant that in the days ahead, our hearts will be filled with eagerness to learn from you and to obey you and trust you. We pray that you will teach us what it means to give up everything for you, so that in Christ we will have everything that is of true worth and value. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.